back to Change Ed, your number one and favoritest podcast in all of America for educators by educators. We are here with a number of special people at PTNC. We are here at the Steels Summit recording live. We don't know what you will or won't hear as listeners, but we're glad you tuned in for this episode. My name is Andrew Kuhn. I am an education consultant for Montgomery County Intermediate Unit, and here with me is...
Patrice Semichek, an educational consultant from the Montgomery County Intermediate Unit.
And our temporary, not sure that we want to commit to having him full-time, guest co-host.
I love the temporary part of this.
It's temporary. We established this last night.
Right. I mean, I thought I paid for the full subscription, but I guess this is just the temporary pass. But Jason Zimmerman from IU13, and I am a teaching and learning consultant of STEM.
Jason, thrilled to have you here.
Thanks.
Temporarily. We also have another repeat guest with us and a new guest, both of which are from Lincoln Intermediate Unit 12, Abby Lichtenberg and Nicole Bond. Welcome, both of you. Would you mind telling us a little bit about yourselves? You know, nothing too serious. When you're born, social security number, credit card, those kind of things.
Gladly, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So I am an educational technology specialist at IU12. Nicole and I work together on our ed tech team to cover all things related to ed tech, STEM, computer science. And then lately, the STEEL standards have fallen into our bucket too. So we spend a lot of time thinking about the new science standards, as well as technology and engineering and the environmental literacy and sustainability.
You said it all. I don't really know if I can add anything to that. You've covered everything. Occasionally I do esports too. There we go.
Nice. One of the things that's interesting is that we're all sitting at this table. We all do very similar work, yet we all have very different titles.
Right? True.
And I think that's a good indication of even the work that we do, that it fluctuates by area, by region, by IU, by everything that we do. And what I love about this and the way it ties into STEELS for me is that STEELS is meant to be closer to home. It's meant to be more personalized. So while we're having these bigger conversations and we're including a lot of people from all across the state, we're all trying to get on the similar train, but our destinations might be different. And the way that we get onto this train might be different as well. So I really, that struck me as you know, you say, here's my title and here are all the things I do. I'm like, well, we do all those things too. But we call ourselves something different. We're thrilled to have you here. We're thrilled that you love our podcast so much that you came back. It's surprising after the way that Jason treats people. So you had a session that you did today, and it was about STEELS and specifically teaching with STEELS practices. And I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit more about that and enlighten us on what that means.
Sure. So the practices are one of the three dimensions of each of our new STEELS standards. You have the disciplinary core ideas, which is like your content, your cross-cutting concept, those big understandings of science we're trying to build for students with students. And then you have your science and engineering practices. And they really are what students are going to do in the classroom to make those connections, to bring that knowledge together and develop those enduring understandings of the content.
This idea of transitioning from putting content first, right, and starting a unit with, here are all the vocab words you need to know, here's a study guide from the beginning, start learning this now because you have a test in 3 weeks, to let's look at this real world example. Let's look at this phenomenon. Why do you think it's a better practice to do that? What's the advantage of starting with a phenomenon or problem or scenario?
Yeah, so it's really all about equity. So science instruction, like you said, classically starts with academic vocabulary that can be very difficult for students who not only might be English language learners, but also may struggle with reading and writing. And so when we take the most intimidating thing about science and put it first, kids are going to look at those words and say, there is no way that you're going to get me to say that in front of my peers. And they're immediately going to count themselves out of the science classroom. Whereas if we are thinking about these ideas about three dimensionality and using them to help students make sense of the science, we do that by starting with phenomena. And this is a complex, curious instance of science in the real world. And all we do is invite students in to say, what do you notice? What do you wonder? What observations can you make about this. And that way we're all starting with that same shared experience and no one has an advantage over anyone else. This is really like, what are the limitations of your imagination is really the only thing that's going to hem anybody in that kind of a conversation. So we have a much better opportunity to invite students into that science learning if we start with phenomena than if we start with that high level rigorous academic vocabulary.
The thing I loved about what you just said was that traditionally we put the most intimidating thing about science first. Mm. And it's so true. Mm-hmm. When we look at science in general, and the conversation should be, look how cool this is. Like, look how exciting it is. And ASCD just put out an article recently that was entitled, it was something like, why do we have to learn this? And kind of answering that question for that students ask all the time, right? The age old question of why are we doing this? Why do I need to learn this? And the whole article is summing up basically our job right now, especially post pandemic, is to prove to kids that learning is fun and that learning is important. I think with Steels, like, we have the best opportunity right now to actually do that. And it's like putting these practices back into the classroom provides us with that opportunity to be like, learning is incredible. Look how amazing this is.
And I think you raised such a good point, too. When we think about, like, you know, this goes so far beyond 12th grade that we often get locked into this like K-12 mindset. And we think about, okay, how do we get these kids to survive these 13 years? What this Steels promises is the opportunity for our students to not only like learning and love it, but also become autonomous learners.
Yeah.
How do we help introduce them to the skills and the habits of mind that are going to help them after the time in their life where they have a teacher in the classroom with them to prompt them through this, to prompt themselves to investigate further, to learn more, to be curious and examine the world around them.
You know, what's interesting about this and this particular part of this conversation is that that's the case for us as adults as well. Mm-hmm. So when we talk to a lot of people who specifically elementary teachers who are very concerned about getting into the science, that's because the way they learned science was you had to know the vocab. You had to be able to lead with this first, and you had to know before you could teach. And this is kind of flipping that paradigm a little bit so that it's more open. Yet that can be very intimidating for a lot of teachers.
Mm-hmm. I like too how you said you want to invite them into the learning, because when you use a phrase like that, you yourself feel like it's a party and it's going to be awesome and a lot of fun. And so I really like the way that you said invite them into the learning. And it also made me feel like if I'm inviting someone to something, I'm going to either be kind prepared, but I'm also going to be enjoying myself at the same time. Cool. So I really appreciate how you said invite them, because that's a very different way of thinking about things.
I think it also sort of gets at that image of like the teacher as the gatekeeper of the knowledge. If we're inviting people in, the gate is open.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, previously in like the traditional method of teaching science, the teacher is the holder of all of the knowledge and the students just have to work to guess at it to get to the right one. But then eventually, even if they don't get it, the teacher's just going to tell them.
Right.
And this is really where we're turning everything on its head and saying the mission of this unit, the journey that we're about to go on is about each student developing their explanation of what's going on. And I think that that's also really captures what the significant challenge is here too, because our students are not used to being the keepers of knowledge.
Oh, no. Right.
So this is a huge shift in how our students see themselves. Mm-hmm. And there's also going to be a lot of work that goes into this to build the confidence in our students to be able to declare that knowledge, test out ideas, to be wrong and to get it right later, to keep trying and not rely on the teacher to just tell them the answer.
Right.
I think this is where kind of AI comes into this conversation, because if we view as an educator, right, that we are the keeper of knowledge, we are 100%. It's like people saying that AI will like take over the teacher role. If we view education as that, it totally will. But that isn't what an educator is supposed to do. Like, we can have AI do that. AI does hold the knowledge piece, but there's something that AI can't do. And that's this part of like really pulling in sense making and also having the students do science, right? You need to have that adult there to facilitate those discussions, talk about the discourse in the room, pull in the little pieces that you know about your students that we learned about last week, those things. Like, that's what we need. And that's what we need to focus on.
So we will become irrelevant if we don't read the writing on the wall, if we allow that to happen, if we don't adapt and we overcome, which is something that we we've done all through existence, right? We've adapted, we've overcome, we've adjusted.
We've lived in this content world where it's all about the content, and we've known for ages, not new to AI. Mm. You could Google the answers that are the questions in your textbook. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly saying, well, no, this is a paper test, or no, you can't look up the answer. You just have to memorize and regurgitate. And that's really not necessary. It's the ability to critically analyze something. So every single practice that we're seeing in these standards are really about those pieces, how to make sense of that. No matter where you find it, whether you find it in a textbook or you learn it through a phenomena, how are you making sense of the world around you is what's happening in these practices. And I think that that's really the larger piece. That's the most important piece.
I think with science too, you know, we talk about how we start with the most intimidating thing. We start with the vocab. The ironic thing about science is that your kids come to you having experienced science every single day.
Yeah. Right.
And phenomena is also the chance to leverage those personal experiences that like AI and Google aren't going to have.
Mm-hmm. I think the big thing here is that the change that we're talking about is a change to learning instead of knowing. And again, I'm going to reference us as adults. Because we were raised to know, there are so many scenarios where someone's talking, and even if they change their position, which is something that we encourage in science, right? Nothing is finite. Nothing is definite in science. And when we learn new information, we can change our position. We can adjust our thought process. But when someone does that, we're like, oh, look at you. You're changing sides. You don't even know what you're talking about. You can't commit to something. And so systemically, it's going to become a bigger conversation for us to say, like, no. Like, it's okay, right? Like, I appreciate that you've reevaluated versus digging your heels into the sand, which has its own challenges that come for us. So I guess what I'm seeing is that this is bigger than education. This could have societal impacts to where we can actually communicate, we can collaborate differently, and we'll be modeling that for them as well. But again, we as adults have to acknowledge all of those things and see them ourselves and say, okay, how do we, now that we know better, how do we do better? How do we encourage the next generation to interact differently?
I'm going to say this, and then I'll pause right after I say this part, and then we can cut it if you don't want this, but...
Cut. Terrible.
Oh my gosh, let him at least say it.
No, so my thought with this is, you talk about this idea of kind of community and looking at us as adult learners, right? And so I look at myself as a millennial, right? Going through the educational system where No Child Left Behind was started, right?
Yeah.
And looking at how much state testing was very heavily required during my whole K-12 experience. Mm-hmm. So I was part of that wave of almost every year we were tested with mm-hmm. this heavily standardized testing and this focus on we need to reach this certain level, right? Millennials, I feel like we kind of reached this point where we had to go through those motions, but then we started questioning a few of those things. But when we look at this next generation coming up and we look at Gen Z, they're those students that are now saying, okay, why are we doing this? And also, we're going to pause until we have a good answer to that.
Yeah.
And I kind of love it.
Seriously love it.
I think it's great. They know how to advocate for themselves, and they know how to say, so why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. And it comes back to that point of that article that I read from, you know, ASCD that says, why are we learning this? You know, we need to prove to this next generation that learning actually is more than getting to April and May and taking a test and then saying, I don't need to know it anymore.
And I think that like that question almost comes across as offensive initially when you're the teacher and you've worked so hard to have that content knowledge, and you spent all those years in college, you have your master's degree and every other certification you could get. You love your content and you're so happy about it. Like, I mean, I was a social studies teacher, and like my kids would say like, why do we need to know this? I'm like, how could you not want to?
Exactly.
This is the most interesting thing in the world. But there's like such a good discussion there. And like, it really is on us to make it relevant and authentic to our students to draw them in and want to know it. I think with science in particular, it has so much relevance to making good decisions in so many aspects of your life, where you think about like medical decisions and you know, what to wear because the weather says it's going to be like this, but I can look up in the sky and read the clouds. Like, you know, there are so many like cool skills that you can learn that help you interpret the world around you and make better decisions with science. And I think that we can't look at that question as offensive, as a questioning of our professionalism and our integrity and our knowledge. We have to look at that as an invitation to say, you know what, why are we doing this way? Mm-hmm. There's a valid criticism here. We might need to turn this thing on its head.
I love that. That's perfect.
It is perfect. That should be the final thought.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to add anything else.
Okay, so here's my final thought.
It's the nicest way Patrice has ever told Andrew to stop talking. Yeah,
thank you. Thanks for the acknowledgement, because I've been working very hard at that. Yeah. Trying
you're
to be
doing
nicer.
Really good, Patrice.
Well, you know, we had a podcast with John Spencer, and it was about your slime. And one of the things was to let go. And she's trying to let go of being mean. Isn't that what it was?
Yeah, I think that's what
to
I
me. She rubbed her hands.
She's a mean one. That Patrice.
Wow. That is getting cut.
Oh, that's staying. I'll edit this one.
Oh, you're going to edit this one? Okay. We'll see.
I really want to say thank you very much for you both coming on and for talking about this. I think we could record multiple podcasts just with this crew and have lots
we
of conversations.
Did. We did record multiple podcasts, but we didn't record them all,
but we did do them. One of the things that really stuck out to me for this specific episode is that Steels provides multiple pathways into learning. And the way that I think I can safely say we all learned was that there was a one-lane road that got you into learning. And that was you had to know the vocabulary or you couldn't get on the road. That was the toll that you had to pay to get on the road. And now there are a lot of on-ramps and you can get on from a dirt road. You can get on from a bike path. You can get on any way. But there are all these ways for you to enter without paying the toll. And then the tool comes later once you're comfortable on the road and you know what you're doing, then you can get along and move along. And again, this is a big change, Ed, not only in Ed, but it's a change for us as a culture, as a society. So we have a lot of impact in what we do. So on behalf of the entire Change Ed team, thank you for tuning in and listening. And we're going to encourage you all to find your invite to Learning Party. Did you say that this time or was it not recorded?
That was Nicole. Yeah.
You said Learning Party? You said the Learning Party.
It was an invitation to learning. I think you could say something like, at this point, you know, our job is to really create the invitation that we're giving to our students to invite them into the learning every day.
Ditto.
Done.
Subscribe.
Last word.
I have the last word.
Done. Did we record this one?
Yes, Jason. Okay.